Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 219th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on April 2nd, 2023. On the podcast today, we have baseball correspondent Ryan Holtz to tell us, Ryan, is baseball back?
I feel like the pitch clock has been mixed, to say the least.
I've seen mostly positive.
It does feel like classic fans aren't as upset about it as they thought they would be. But I don't know, it's already like had serious implications. Like, and we've only played a couple games right now, which is kind of crazy.
The season has begun.
The season has begun.
Oh, okay. Thank you for answering the hot question on everyone's minds.
Has MLB literally kicked off the season? Yeah.
I think from most of what I've seen about it, like the violations, you know, that have to do with the pitch clock and the batter clock are like just getting worked out. It's like people figure this shit out. They'll know what not to do anymore. And it's not going to become an issue. Like, I don't think people really have an issue with there being a clock. I mean, it just makes things move faster. Everyone seems to like that. It's the like, oh, come on, you can't give a guy a strike for this shit. It's like, well, but in 2 weeks, you will not see that anymore. And it won't be because they're going to get rid of the rule. It's because people are just going to move 2 seconds faster and everything will be fine.
It was in place all through spring training and it's still happening. So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to claim credit for this one. I was listening to the Waypoint Radio Sports Podcast. Does this make no hitters like even more unlikely now?
No hitters had not been unlikely. Like, they happen a few times a year. In theory, it shouldn't affect it too much. Like, pitchers aren't usually like having recovery time in between pitches anyway. And if you really needed a break, you could just like lazily try to pick off a runner or something, you know?
All right, got to do some kicks on the mound. Got to look over to second. Got to stretch a little. Got to touch my hat. Got to look over to second again.
You can't touch your hat.
Because there's a clock. No, like in general, you can't take your time on the mound doing nothing because there's a clock. You know, you can throw it over to first base if there's a runner
or
something.
If you pretend to or even actually try to pick off a batter like that, that'll reset the clock. Yeah. I don't know if it resets it fully, but you can game yourself some time. But
if you really need it. But I don't think it would really change too much. I think the bigger thing is probably the infield shift being outlawed.
That's definitely the biggest thing here. Like, that one I'm not a huge fan of. I mean, they're just trying to drive up offense, and it's like, but that was a strategy. Like, there was risk reward involved there. Like,
yeah. And now they're doing an outfield shift. I don't know if you've seen that. For like the real pull hitters, they put the right, like for a lefty pull hitter, you put the right fielder like basically on the sand, like basically on the dirt, playing in between first and second. And then you just have both outfielders shift all the way over. Like, and there's left field is wide open. And it's like, and people make the memes of like, I don't know, insert hitter here, hit it opposite field challenge, impossible. Like, all they have to do is just get it into the outfield on that side. And it's a guaranteed double, probably even a triple. But they can't do it. Which to me highlights how it shouldn't be illegal. If you physically can't do it that badly, like you cannot go opposite field that badly, you shouldn't be rewarded. Like, that is a weakness of yours. That's dumb.
So I don't fucking get it. It's like, this is a skill-based game.
Right.
This is a game of strategy.
And spray hitters are now getting penalized. It's like if the NFL put in rules protecting a certain type of quarterback, like now these other quarterbacks are by consequence being punished. Like,
well, I think the comparable rule is like, if you look at, you know, the last 2 years, mostly the last year in the NFL, of like basically deep passes, like resulting in touchdowns of more than like 60 yards, they were almost erased last year because everyone just started playing too high safety shell. It would be like if the NFL was like, okay, you can't play that anymore.
Yeah,
we want you to give up a touchdown because that's exciting. So you can't do the thing that will prevent the team from scoring. It's like, the fuck? Doesn't make sense.
I mean, the NFL does have some, like, football has always had some weird rules about, like, where you can line up on offense that a lot of people aren't aware of. Like, you need 7 people on the line of scrimmage and only the people on the ends of the line of scrimmage are eligible. Like, if you cover up a tight end, they're now just a blocker and shit like that. Like, there are kind of weird formation rules, especially on the offense. The defense has some, like, lining up over the nose or over the center on a field goal and stuff like that. But
I forget if it's happened a couple times in the last NFL season or just one really meaningful time. But the eligible receiver rules, I remember, came up in a way that, like, oh, yeah, I forgot those are a thing. I think there was a deflection on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and if you have the wrong number, you have to report in as eligible and everything so that you don't catch the defense by surprise. Like, there's definitely in place.
There was that one offensive lineman, I want to say for like the Titans or some shit, that caught a deflected pass. Was not an eligible receiver, but like still had the ball in his hands and just went full instinct mode and ran it in for this like awesome diving touchdown. Yeah. But they're like, that doesn't count. It's not eligible. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Wild. Also on the podcast today, we have Andrew Clark, you had to step away briefly because there was something in your eye. Is that an elevated concern after getting LASIK, or like where are you at in all
not,
that? How would you
anymore.
Rate that experience?
Not anymore. I mean, early on it was like, if you get shit in your eye, you got to be really careful about getting it out so it doesn't get infected. But I'm far enough out now that it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I mean, hey, I'm cleared to go in a hot tub, baby. Ain't nothing going to stop these eyes.
Wait, what?
Like, when you get eye surgery, you can't go in, like, a pool or a hot tub for, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
Can you not be in one, or can you not be underwater?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea is that you don't want to get the water in your eyes. You could sit in one as long as you never get a drop of water in your eyes, but that's probably not going to happen.
Sometimes
swimming.
Fumes too.
Yeah, especially with a hot tub, like that shit rises up. I mean, you've been in a hot tub where you're like, oh my god, my eyes are burning from this chlorine. Yeah,
at your wedding.
Yeah.
Literally at your wedding. That hot tub was fucking spiked. That thing was chlorinated out the wazoo. Which you prefer to like underchlorinated for hotel hot tubs.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Good wedding.
I mean, it's the mix of the harsh chemicals. You don't want that shit to get in your eyes after surgery. And then also, those things are filthy. They're full of dirt and sand and piss.
The piss is neutralized by the chlorine, Andrew. That's how it works.
It's decontaminated, sure, but it's still there.
It's neutralized. It's like it didn't even happen. It's just instantly water.
It's like erased from existence.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it got Thanos snapped, basically. You are pissing into an infinity space of just like liminal nothingness that the chlorine sends it to.
Now the chlorine molecules are just waiting outside of urethras, brass knuckles on, and the moment like piss particles come out of there, they're just like, not today.
I think not, they're thirsty, boys. Those chlorine molecules are just, they're fucking ready to gulp down some piss. they're hankering. They got a hankering.
I saw some shit recently about like just guys that were adamant that everyone pees in pools, and the only ones that say that they don't are just like liars. And they're like, I pee in the pool, and that's normal. You pee in the pool too. You just won't admit it. And it's like,
that's dumb.
Yeah, that's very dumb.
Everyone, I'm willing to say everyone has peed in a body of water.
I don't
know about everyone makes a habit out of it.
Okay, wait,
that
a body of
weird.
Water, like a lake doesn't count. You can pee in a lake.
Oh, lakes don't count?
Lakes don't count. Lakes are so much bigger. Like the volume
of water. Not necessarily.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I have swam in pools that are bigger than lakes that I've also swam in.
They're not lakes if they're smaller than a pool. And like,
Not according to the state of Wisconsin. That's like the whole thing, right?
All right.
We got some tiny lakes that we're counting as lakes.
Those are ponds.
Ponds are not cool? Where you do draw the line at ponds. You can't piss in like a swimming pond.
I was at the beach.
What is a swimming pond?
Is that a like a small lake?
Like a swimming hole.
Like a man-made pond? Because that's basically a pool. Yeah, a place that you swim in.
Yeah, a place that you swim in, but you would say is too small to be considered a lake. That's a swimming pond. There you go.
I would try not to pee in that.
Wow. So it's about, but is it about size? Or is it about...
It's mostly about size, because if you look at the volume of a regular size lake, not these tiny man-made fake-ass ponds, the volume of water to the amount of piss that you're able to put
in. So if someone made a gargantuan pool, you're chill. This is all fine.
As long as it's not full of people that are also pissing in it. Also, I wouldn't do it because of just, you know, the social standard here. Like, that is a pool for swimming.
So if you're in a lake, though, that's for swimming, the beach area is not the whole lake. Like, you're talking about a pretty confined area where there's probably a lot of people.
If it is, if it is very small and also specifically for swimming, like there's a bunch of people in there, yeah,
like a swimming
don't,
beach.
Don't pee in it.
It's
not cool.
I would not. Okay, so I don't like defecating in bodies of water that I am in, because I think I my visceral reaction to that is ew, gross. I do feel like the presence of fish, the presence of animals in that body of water does change the calculus a little bit.
Because there's already shit in there.
So if you're just saying there's already shit, then go for it.
Wait. Are you saying defecating?
Yeah, he did say defecating.
I have.
Isn't your nation defecation as well? Aren't they both? Or
no. No, I don't think so.
Defecating strictly BM.
I really don't think so, but let me look at it. Yeah, the discharge of feces from the body. That's the definition.
Yeah, no, like peeing in an actual like decent sized lake, you know, that I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think not only have I never done this, I don't think I physically could shit in a body of water.
So like on Survivor, for example, that is the most sanitary way to do it. Like just shit in the ocean, like straight up. Like they have a little area on the land too, that like they're like, we won't follow you if you go there alone. You can do your business there. But like the medical experts say the most sanitary way to do it is like in the ocean, not like down tide from the people where it just washes onto your beach. And yeah, it'll go, because again, animals are there and shitting in it all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know that I could. I don't know that I physically could take a shit while floating.
Well, you're not floating. You're okay.
I think you should be floating. I think you should be pretty far out. I don't think you should be so squatting in a foot of water.
Lucas is going to two feet of water.
Yeah, no.
And like squatting down. His butt is in the sand, but
you're guaranteeing it's going on to getting washed ashore if you don't get out a little ways. Yeah, I don't know. No, so for Lucas, it's all about the presence of fish. For Andrew, it's about the volume.
The volume and the amount of people.
What about the ocean, Andrew?
We were just talking about the ocean.
Yeah, ocean has fish. And it's gargantuan.
I think also being in the ocean is well, for one thing, if it is all about the volume to me, the ocean is the perfect place to piss.
The ocean's the best spot. Andrew would rather pee in the ocean than in a bathroom. Think about the volume of water in a toilet, Andrew. Like that's pretty.
That's
going to be very high percentage. In there. I don't know.
Does the presence? Does the fact that it's salt water, that it's like it can't be used for anything else, that it is, I don't know, maybe the salt's doing some kind of neutralization,
like the chlorine,
or like. I don't know, because like I was at the beach a while ago with a different group of friends, and I asked, hey, where are the restrooms? Where are the porta potties? And they're like, oh, they're down that way. But like, you just have to pee. Go in the ocean. And I'm like,
I peed in the ocean.
I don't have to pee, like, but also like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think salt. I think ocean is different. Maybe.
So like I've done it. I don't like it, and I definitely don't make a habit, even in like the ocean or a lake, because like, are you taking your trunks off in this scenario? Because it's like in the trunks. Is it really gonna get washed away? Like, I don't know if I trust that. It feels like you're pissing your pants and hoping that it gets kind of washed away.
I think it doesn't, like, I don't know, because you're like submerged in water, it doesn't really ever, I don't know. It's not like going through your shorts. I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah. No, I think I
don't. It's also not a thing that I do like consistent. This is not a thing. It's like a, oh fuck, I'm not going to make it back to the bathroom. You know, it's, I got it. I'm just in the ocean right now. So
how does that situation arise, Angel? How does it come on so suddenly that you're like, I got no shot, baby?
Well, okay, like, come to think of it, I don't know that I have peed in the ocean. I've peed in the lakes before because, you know, like, you know, you had a couple of beers, you're on the boat in the middle of the lake. The bathroom is a 20-minute boat ride away.
Wait. Are you getting in the water off of the boat to pee, or are you peeing off the side of the boat? Because this feels like
usually depends on who you're with.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm no, definitely not just peeing off the side of the boat.
Okay, because that feels
just disrespectful.
Feels wrong. Okay, really? Why does that feel wrong? Let's analyze this. It just does.
Interesting. Some things in life just are, and that's okay.
Feels impolite.
I don't know. If you're with like the proper company, I don't think that that's negative.
Is it a product of societal norms that have maybe poisoned our minds? Sure. But just how it is.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, I am Lucas DeRuyter. We're three young men on a podcast, which I think by default makes this a men's health and wellness podcast, technically. So I'm going to share that I've been trying out Blue Chew. Not a sponsor. Dude, would love it if they are a sponsor. But my recommendation, anyone who has a penis and cares about having an erection, try it out. Go for it. Get in there.
So isn't Blue Chew, though, kind of like a scam? Because it's like way more expensive than just getting generic Viagra, like, and it's just for socially awkward dudes who don't want to talk to their doctor and just get a very easy prescription.
That's my understanding. It is generic Viagra.
It's more expensive than if you were to just get a prescription from your doctor.
First order of six pills was $5.
Yeah, first order. That's how they hook you. The first one's free, baby. And then that's my understanding, is that like all those weird dick pill companies are fine. Like, they are giving you real shit.
Yeah, they're not poisoning you. Yeah.
Right. They even say, like, you don't have to worry about talking to your, like, they're advertising to socially awkward people who don't want to just have a literal 2-second conversation with their doctor and get prescribed something, and then you're good to go.
I mean, I went with them because I was listening to a podcast that was sponsored by them, and I'm like, right. You know what? Why not?
And that's what the ad read says. Right. Yeah, like the ad read literally will say, like, you don't have to worry about talking to your doctor. It's very easy and it ships to your door. It's like, okay, if you can't have a 2-second conversation with your doctor about that and then quickly run over to the pharmacy, I don't know. It seems a little predatory to me personally. Huh? So no, I reject their sponsorship.
Oh,
but no, like, good on you for getting hard. I don't know.
I don't.
Good for you. Just like throwing a party, happy
slaps
erection.
On the back. Yeah.
I mean, not to protect my own ego, but that like hadn't been an issue. I was just kind of like, well, what is this like? What is a medically induced erection like? Pretty great, to be honest. I was
How
a teenager
than a natural one.
So you know how like there are like different tiers of erection.
Andrew's like, no.
No, there's off and there's on.
Yeah, no, I'm a fucking light switch, baby. I'm all the way.
I know. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
This is full mast. Like, this is like in any circumstance, any level of stimulation, this is like, oh, this is after taking this pill, I am now as hard as I possibly could be. Yeah.
No, yeah, it makes sense.
It's just Goku going Super Saiyan 3, and this is what it is to go
further beyond.
Yes. I took Blue Chew and I had the Super Saiyan 3 of erections. And then I had another Super Saiyan 3 erection. And then I had another Super Saiyan 3 erection.
Yeah. Oh, I endorse what Lucas says. I just implore, if there are any young men listening, just have a 2-minute conversation with your doctor.
Yeah.
You can get them for cheaper. You don't have to give money to this weird company that's preying on your insecurity. Yeah, like, I know they're big on podcasts and that's why you ended up doing it. But like, I promise you, if you go to your doctor and literally ask, they will give it to you because there's basically no side effects. Like, it is a kind of wonder drug. It's just pretty much guaranteed. There's a small risk that, yeah, you have to go to the hospital and get a needle, which would be very uncomfortable, but so it's very small.
That's my other question is that, like, does it go away naturally when you're not stimulated anymore? Or is it like a, you take it and it gives you an erection even if you didn't want it, and then it's there for a certain amount of time and then will go away?
There is still a mental capacity of it. There is still a, I need to think about something arousing in order to have an erection. Like,
the perfect boner.
Kind of like being a teenager again, you know? Stiffy right. in the shower. We talked about this before we started recording. Right. Stiffy in the shower. Like, oh no, intrusive thought. Like, I have an erection now. Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird that kind of went away. That's what I'm willing to input to this conversation. I didn't really notice that went away, but it does kind of just go away, huh?
Yeah.
Like, just like having a random thought and then, yeah.
And then
like
you get a full-on boner.
Yeah, that's very much completely gone from my life. And I don't remember when it left, but it just is. And I remember just thinking that's how the world worked when, yeah, you're like a teenager. It must have been sometime in college, just like, not a thing anymore, straight up. It will never happen to you ever again. That's kind of weird.
I remember in high school, I went over to a friend's house. I think we were like shooting airsoft guns or some shit. There was a bunch of us there. This guy had like a ton of land. His family was rich, whatever. His older brother and I didn't get along because we were both in track. And, you know,
so like, then you know how that is.
Well,
but you're like, both in track. Forget about it.
We ran over the same events and I was faster than him. And he didn't like that because I was 14 and he was 18.
But little kids are faster. If you're like, I don't know,
maybe it's just not, me. Not always, but
I feel like our like, this guy, yeah.
I'm sure he had a fragile ego.
Fair.
Mom brings out snacks. This guy's mom brings out snacks, you know, and soda and shit like that. Asked, what do we want? You know, whatever. I think I like asked, like, oh, do you have any root beer? Sure. One root beer comes out along with a bunch of other sodas. And this guy is like, I'll bring it to you. And then I was like, maybe not. And then like, I don't drink it. And then my friend is like, oh, you're not going to drink your root beer? Like, I'll take it. I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no.
And then he drank it and he called me like an hour later. Like, something's wrong, man. I'm sitting in the parking lot of a Walmart and I'm hard as fuck. I was like, dude, what the fuck? And like, I was still at this guy's house and like, this kid, then, you know, this 18-year-old kid asked, like, hey, Andrew, anything feeling weird? Anything feel wrong? I was like, no. He's like, I put a Playboy shot in your soda. I'm like, I didn't drink it. This other kid did. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's what's going on.
Oh,
this guy
my
tried
God.
To give me a medical boner as a prank, which is super weird.
No, that's fucked.
But then someone else got the, you know, like the stray bullet.
That's weird.
Knowing of all the drugs to like dose someone with, I guess it's not the worst.
Yeah,
like,
he could have given me mushrooms or something.
Right, like there's very few negative repercussions. Like, like I said, it's kind of a wonder drug. Like, it doesn't really interact with any other medications. Mm-hmm. It wears off really quickly. Like, there's a chance that you have the whole 4 hours thing, which would suck, but like no long term damage. Like. Yeah, but what a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, that's beyond shit for pranking. I thought he was just going to, like, spit in it or something.
Yeah,
you know? Like
exactly.
A classic.
I actually, knowing what I know, my own personal experiences with these kinds of stimulants, I got, like, a sense of lightheadedness where, like, yeah, I'm taking these when I'm not doing anything else for the rest of the day. There's a lightheadedness that comes with it where I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to drive in this condition outside of the erection. Mm. That'd be weird.
So you're just taking them on the daily or like,
yeah,
really?
Not daily, no. Not daily. Just like whenever, just like, yeah, I got nothing going on, or like, yeah, my partner and I, let's get to it.
That's fair. Yeah, really that's go. What it's, I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah, for, like, so you can take it before you're about to do something. Right. You don't have to like take it in the beginning of the day so that you're prepared later on, right?
No. This okay. I think the packaging advice is like, hey, 20 minutes to half an hour before you, they might use the word intercourse, but I think it's just like before you want to have an erection. Yeah.
Right. But you're not just like taking it randomly, like when no one's around, right? Or are you?
Like the first time I took one, it was kind of like, you know what? Let's make this a me thing. Let me just be like, let me see how you my body interacts with this before it's game
put on
time.
Some
yeah.
soft music and drew a bath.
Interesting. Yeah. First time.
No. Fair.
It's an experiment.
And that's what I'm going to encourage our listeners to do. Experiment with your body. Have some fun. Explore yourself. Yeah. No stigma.
It's not the devil.
No.
Or whatever. Idle playthings.
You want to know this devil.
Dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Ah. We also know more about The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, thanks to a kind of gameplay trailer, a kind of, hey, here's some of the new shit in the game, here are the new mechanics. Andrew, I know you watched this. Ryan, did you check it out?
I did not, but I've seen some memes and some people like going crazy with the breakdowns.
There, I don't know this. I can't speak to this, but apparently there's a new race, a new tribe that's maybe being referenced in this game. The Zoni, like barbarians. There's that cool barbarian armor in the first game that kind of drew upon that. Yeah. Andrew, what'd you think of this? How are you feeling about the sequel now?
I mean, I think it looked fun. Didn't really reveal any like plot sort of stuff, which is fine. I think it was kind of just showing like, yeah, if you liked Breath of the Wild, then you'll like this because it's the same, but more. And yeah, like some cool new mechanics, fusing shit together, like fusing like random objects and also weapons. And that's cool. Like making weird vehicles and other shit to traverse the world, which is kind of like the big part of Breath of the Wild was finding different ways of getting to different places. And this is just more of that. And I think that's cool.
And those new abilities are
Ultra Hand and Fuse and the one where you just go through the ceiling, which is a weird ability. just to go through a ceiling, if there is one.
And that makes me wonder, like, if that only works in certain areas or if they are really significantly changing the architecture of the world map, because there are a lot of areas in that game where it's like, like climbing to the top of this is a part of the challenge.
Yeah, it sounds like if there is a cave in a mountain, you will just be able to immediately get to the top of the mountain by going in the cave and then going through the ceiling.
But also, like, the towers have, maybe this is, like, how we don't have towers in this game again. Because, like, they had landing areas where if you could just look up and then, or maybe it's within a certain distance from you. I don't know. Yeah.
Game comes out in a couple of weeks. We'll figure it out.
Well, I thought it wasn't out until, is it May?
It's, like, in the middle of May, yeah.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but, I'm coming up on hour 80 of Fire Emblem Engage. I didn't realize this game would be this long. And when I think about the other games I really want to play this year, Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, the Advance Wars remake, which are two games together. So even if they're short, that's at least 40 hours. The Persona 3 remake. Is this just the year of long games? Is that what's going on here?
It's always been long games, man. It took me 99 hours to beat Red Dead Redemption.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think we're like 28 hours into Hogwarts Legacy. Ooh. And we are very early still.
Oh, God.
I think I played Madden 21 for like 400 hours.
I mean, that's a game with no upper limit. Elden Ring DLC. Fuck.
In theory, all games have no upper limit if they have replayability.
True.
You could just play it forever.
Even if they don't.
Yeah. I've seen, there was one conspiracy theory where someone thought that there was going to be like underground or underwater worlds and levels, because there's a frame in the fucking gameplay where he like dives into the water, and for like one frame while he's underwater, he quickly surfaces. But for that one frame in the upper left, they show the ascend ability or whatever. So it's like, ooh. Oh, you can ascend underwater. It sounds like there's going to be some underwater shit going on. Like, just people were getting real minute, and it is a frame that you can see that thing, that little indicator in the top left pop up. Like, I don't think the developers intended for you to see that, because it's literally like he dives and instantly like comes back up. Like he jumps off a cliff into the water and instantly comes back up. And so for like one frame, you can see it. So
I noticed this, that like falling in the air animation, that is identical the Skyward Sword falling in the air animation, and I kind of love that. I kind of like that this game is being, that Skyward Sword is being reclaimed, or that, I don't know, the Zelda people are being efficient about their asset usage. Those new abilities, I call them Sheikah Slate abilities, but Link was using his fucked up arm for this part of it, and we still don't know how that happens. They are Recall, which is rewind time for a specific object. Fuse, combining items. Ascend, travel through masses, through ceilings. And Ultra Hand, which is also Fuse, but for objects you can't put in your inventory. Actually, now saying the word Fuse a lot, I was reminded of this point. The childlike logic to how some of these fuse powers work fills me with no end of glee. The fact that you can slap an eyeball onto an arrow and it makes it a homing arrow is, it's yeah, fun. You know what? Yeah, no notes. That's how that would work in real life, definitely.
The arrow gains sentience because you duct taped an eyeball to it. Fair.
Andrew, I don't know about your playthrough, but I had so many of those fucking eyeballs by the end of mine. I'm just glad to know that there's now a purpose to them other than to sell to the weird monster dude for different government destabilizing currency. That is fantastic.
Isn't it kind of a win now button? Homing arrows? Like, doesn't that seem... Or do you think they'll, like, weaken the actual arrow to balance it?
Like, I mean, how... they could, but also like arrows were just like generally hard to use. Like the aiming mechanics are not great in Breath of the Wild. And then also like regular arrows are not super strong.
Right.
Against anything other than the weak enemies.
Right. You can shoot like dozens of them and they hit. Wouldn't that become overpowered? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible that they balance it. Like with Cuphead, they have a homing fucking, I don't know, finger gun? What are they using?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They have a homing one, but it does less damage than, like, the base one or, like, the power shot one. Like,
maybe it does. Maybe it, like, cuts the damage in half. And maybe you can only use it on regular arrows. Like, you can't put the nuke arrow with an eyeball on it.
That would make sense that, yeah, they limit it to just regular arrows. But I feel like cutting damage versus regular arrows, there's no, like, story-motivated reason to do that. It would just be, like... And this is what's happening for no reason other than for game balancing purposes.
I think also part of it is that there's going to be a lot more flying enemies in this game that would be harder to hit.
Mm.
So like that is, you know, could be part of it, kind of like balances that shit out.
They didn't, they didn't fight it in the trailer, but yeah, I saw the Zelda 2 enemy, the Aikman, flying around with a boblin in the air.
Nice. Yeah,
they're there.
Well, speaking of ruining games, that was what I was going to say is, yeah, like we were playing Hogwarts Legacy and I discovered a cloak an enchantment for Fangs 3, which is like the most advanced level of like enchantment that you can put on all of your clothes and everything like that. But what it does is it increases the damage of Chinese chomping cabbages, which are just little cabbages that you throw on the ground and they bite the enemies and do damage, but like it stacks. So like I put Fangs 3 on my glasses and my hat and my coat and my undercoat and my pants and my shoes, and I'm doing unbelievable damage. I roll up to a troll, throw out three cabbages, and it's at half health before it even attacks me. Like, we found the win button, which is not bad. It's kind of fun, like being a superpower. You know how I like to break RPG,
right?
And I just happened to find this one that really breaks the game. That was like my first level 3 enchantment that we found was Fangs 3. And I was like, oh shit. And I was like, well, it's probably hard to grow Chinese chomping cabbages. No. Like, bro, I built 10 planters for like 2,000 gold and literally you can only hold 12 at a time in your inventory. And they do a fuck ton of damage and they replenish every 10 minutes without requiring any resources. Once you plant them, you have infinite resources of them. Like,
I've created unlimited damage.
Yeah, literally. Like, I have never needed more than like 6 or 7 cabbages to defeat an enemy. So every enemy I can literally just, and like lower powered enemies, you could, one cabbage will do it. Because there's also an ability where every time you throw one cabbage, another one comes in for free. So in reality, I'm throwing 6 cabbages every time. You can only have 3 on the map at once. So yeah, no, like one cabbage will kill any lower tier enemy easily by itself.
This sounds like my favorite genre of Let's Play, where you are role playing a very specific weird character. You're essentially the cabbage salesman from Avatar, if he was also the Avatar.
Yeah, that's what I would
radicalized.
Do. Right, that's what I do in Fallout 4. Do like builds, you know, where you get to like, I don't know, they customize it and kind of give them a little bit of a backstory and like story purpose for why they play the way that they do, and then you get to like have fun play styles and different versions of the character and everything like that. So yeah, I don't know, we're just fucking slaves to Professor Garlic, who everyone's thirsting for on the internet. So
his name is Professor Garlic,
her name,
and okay, I'm sorry,
I'm surprised this didn't permeate any of your social bubble, the thirst for Professor Garlic, because yeah, that was a little out of control for a while there.
Ooh. Professor Garlic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now I'm seeing the deviant art.
Just just a redhead in green.
Yep. That's all it takes. That's all it takes, man.
Those braids though.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're just fully on board with Professor Garlic, apparently.
Speaking of weird playthroughs, the Ultra Hand ability and being able to craft vehicles in Tears of the Kingdom. I cannot wait for the YouTube series, or maybe I'll create this, where your long haul trucker link. And that's going to be a mission in this game, right? Presumably all the characters from the first one are going to show up again. And You got the Cookos guy. You got the Cookos guy. Like, hey, man, setting up shop in a new town, getting away from my ex-wife, ready to start my life. Do you think you'd like build like a semi and bring all of my Cookos over here? I would really appreciate it. And to do that with the backdrop of Zelda seemingly being trapped underground, having to keep mummified Ganon at bay is... it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask, because you said there wasn't much story, but like why is Zelda always like not like, why is she always incommunicado? Why is she always like fucking caught up with some shit? Why can't she be in the game?
It's fucking the weird. Patriarchy.
Yeah, no,
it's 2023.
Yeah, like, yeah, no,
it's bogus.
This, you know, it's absolutely bullshit. Like,
okay, cool. Love it.
We're all in agreement on that.
Everyone's gonna buy it and play it. It sounds like the only way they change
the story. The story is dog shit. The story in all of these games is dog shit. I watched Lucas play a lot of Zelda in college. Like, story, absolutely trash. Gameplay mechanics, at least in those ones, also trash. Breath of the Wild, just really good video game.
I don't.
With very little plot.
Trash. I think trash is a strong word. I think they are more genre fiction than anything else, but
like in the original Zelda wasn't like an all-powerful being, right? Yeah, like she was just a
princess.
Just a princess.
Yeah, she was just a damsel in distress.
Correct.
So they have like updated it, just like not enough to actually fucking give her gameplay or like anything.
Or even
like,
agency.
Yeah.
Zelda has more agency in Super Smash Brothers than she does in the video games named after her. Yes.
Right.
I remember there being like fan theories when like the first trailers for this game dropped like 4 years ago. They're like, oh shit, is this going to be the one where like Zelda is actually a character and you do stuff together, or even like flip it on its head and you play as Zelda? Nah. No.
I think I could understand how playing as Zelda would be a bridge too far. And like, no, Link is your protagonist for the game. But like, yeah, you could have a companion missions and stuff like she could be in the world with you. There's no reason that she has to just literally not basically exist until the very end of the game. Like, I don't know. It's just, that's really, really weird to me, because like they have acknowledged that it's bad the way that they originally portrayed her.
But and the series is called The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. And she is legendary nowadays. Like, they have made her this very powerful being and everything. So, like, I don't know. Give her something to do. Like, other than, like, sit off screen holding back an unseen enemy. Like,
I had never put this together in my mind. But, Zelda is a Jesus. Zelda is the incarnation of the goddess Hylia on Earth. Like, she is,
Jesus did a bunch of shit,
right?
She's not doing shit. Just like,
they're wasting their Jesus.
As long as you agree. I'm just like, that's whole, his whole thing is that he was walking around amongst the poor people and hanging out with sex workers and fucking bringing people back from the dead and shit. Like, that was his whole thing, is that he's out and about and doing stuff and not just like underground in a cave holding back Satan. Like, he fucked around with Satan. He was like, he was doing bets and shit with Satan. He was like, I'll go out in the desert for 40 days, I bet you that I'll be fine. Like,
what if I'm out there tempting you the entire time, Jesus?
Fucking luck, fam. Like, you try your best, I don't give a shit, I'm Jesus. Meanwhile, Zelda's like, I can't hold him. Link, I need you. Like, so fucking weird, man.
I'm looking forward to losing 100 hours of my life to this game.
All this stuff from the first game that I thought was really cool was like the creative gameplay elements.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched Ian play it and be not creative in the slightest, and it was so frustrating.
I had this thought that Breath of the Wild is held up as like, this is a great open world game, and it's like, that's true, but I think what it really is actually like the biggest immersive sim that ever seen.
It's an exploration game,
right?
Like, I think that is what it really comes down to.
Like, it reminds me of like when Warzone first came out, and it was just like, oh, it's like a sandbox. You can dick around and like do stuff while also, you know, having this overall objective. Like, I don't know. And then, but then I'd watch Ian and just watch him, like grind, like freeze time, shoot an arrow at a guy, run up and like stab him with this crazy powerful sword, and then like grab the loot and move on to the next camp. And it's like, isn't it supposed to be fun? Like, aren't you supposed to like, I don't know, just like
dick around and try new stuff. And
yeah, playing it as like Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, there's a reason that game gets old towards the end, because you can only fucking do the gunslinger mode and kill every enemy all at once so many times before you're like, all right, I don't care anymore. Like, the whole point is that you can fucking cut down a tree, freeze it in time, fucking spin it a bunch so that it launches, climb up on it just as it's about to launch, and then sail halfway across the map on it. And jump off just before you take any damage, freeze time again, shoot a guy in the head, fall to the ground, like unleash a boulder, and then it runs over the other three guys. Like, I don't know. That's what's cool about the game.
Yeah. A couple days ago, I like saw the trailer and I was like, oh, maybe I should pick up Breath of the Wild again, you know, load up my old save and dick around for a little bit, go to a place in the map I haven't gone to before, because there are places I haven't gone to before. And I did some wacky shit where I like froze a boulder and hit it with a hammer so that it like ricocheted around a canyon and hit a guy. And then Yeah, did like some crazy flying shit sliding around in my shield.
That was what I was right. That was what I was trying to say to Ian. Is I was just like, all of those abilities, you have like all of them, and the only one you're using is the one that like launches you in the air, so that then you can like freeze time as you draw your bow and shoot more people. And it's just like all of those abilities are intended for combat. I feel like they have like functional uses too for like the puzzles and everything. But like the point is that you're using them for combat too. And so I don't know.
And that's why, a lot of the weapon durability criticism never really landed for me, because in my playthrough of the game, like that losing weapons and having to experiment and getting some of those weird combinations of moments, like or ability overlap, like that's what made the game interesting. That was the best part of the game for me.
Like, well, throwing... at least the best part of the combat,
right?
Like the combat's fairly vanilla if you're just fighting an enemy, like with the regular, you know, swinging shit around and hitting them.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you have to like constantly switch through weapons and use your abilities to help because shit's breaking, and that's fun.
My favorite playthrough of Fallout 4 was the unarmed run that I did. Like, you can get some perks that like stun enemies, and you get insane, like, what are the kill cams? I don't know what they're actually called in the context of the game. Like, you get some really fun animations and stuff. Like, it's actually feasible. So yeah, it then renders all complaints about any weapon systems somewhat obsolete, because at the end of the day, if you put enough fucking stats into something, you could literally go through with no weapons. So yeah, like the end of the day in Zelda, you can go through with these like basic tools that they give you, and you don't even need anything else.
Or a rock on a stick, which is a thing that you can make now.
And Fuse definitely seems to be the elegant solution to those, in my opinion, not that great criticisms of the game's durability system. But also, I can't wait to find out what the meat shield is. They teased that, and I can't wait. God, we're going to talk about this game so much. We're going to play this game so much. I cannot wait for it. I also can't wait for the Scott Pilgrim anime, which is now set to reunite the entire movie cast. That's going to be interesting. I have seen some criticism of this being another instance of live-action actors taking roles away from voice actors.
Yeah,
I think
they are.
Yeah. I also think pretty much everyone in that main cast of the film has the chops, has the range to effectively pull off VA roles. I don't think this is going to be a Chris Pratt Mario situation where they can't even put him in trailers anymore because people are so weirded out by it. But I'm really excited for this, but also I firmly believe that we are less ready for the contents of the Scott Pilgrim comics now than what we were in.
Yeah, I was like,
I think that movie came out in 2010. Yeah,
right. Didn't they they kind of softened the movie from the comics in 2010, and now
yes,
it's like 13 years later, and boy, our culture is very different.
I think,
and they're gonna go closer to the comics.
I remember explicitly, like in the comics, it was Scott was 23 and dating a 17-year-old. In the movie, he was 22 and dating a 17-year-old. And also in the comics, I don't, like, they kind of use this to punch down on Scott, but like in the very last volume, which wasn't adapted into the movie, there's a line of dialogue that's like, no, dude, we started dating like the week I turned 17. So you couldn't even round up. He was just that scummy. But yeah, it's got to be weird.
A lot of the cast has had pretty crazy glow ups. Ironically, the lead is probably the one that has fallen the most since the movie was made.
Yeah.
Like a lot, like Kieran Culkin is way bigger than he ever was. Chris Evans obviously is completely blown up. Aubrey Plaza, Brie Larson, Anna Kendrick, like a lot of these people are now, if not A-listers, like were A-listers or solidly B-listers. And Michael Cera has gone from like borderline A-lister to kind of nobody.
Right.
Yeah, like kind of not doing anything. It's crazy.
Maria and I are watching Arrested Development. We're in season 4 right now, which is the one where Netflix brought it back for the first time.
Yeah, don't do that.
Wild how in the course of that decade-long gap, Michael Cera just became the best actor in that cast. But like, through
no,
he's pretty good.
I so fucking firmly disagree. I don't even know how to put it into words.
Who's better?
Everyone. Single member of that cast is better than Michael Cera.
You think Portia is a better actor than Michael Cera?
Okay, sure. Portia de Rossi, I'll give you that one. But fucking Jason Bateman, like fucking Will Arnett, you're going to really go, I don't know, fucking Mae Whitman, like the lesser known people, Jeffrey Tambor, fucking... oh my god, why can't I remember her name from art? Jessica Chastain, is that it?
Jessica Walters,
that's it. Yeah, great. Like
late great,
seriously, huge talents. Michael Cera is fifth or sixth on that list. Like Jeffrey Tambor, I know he got canceled, but like you can't fault his acting, like he's an insane actor. No way, man. I'm gonna hard disagree with you there. I don't know, like in what, I never saw it. I was told treat them as non-canon and you'll be fine. And seems like that's general consensus nowadays.
Like season four is weird. We're enjoying it, but it's weird. Did Mae Whitman play Yuffie in Kingdom Hearts 3?
She's also in fucking Scott Pilgrim.
Wait, who's she in Scott Pilgrim?
Roxy Richter, is that the girl? Like when she dated a girl? I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Wait, Mae Whitman is Anne. That's right. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, that tracks. Yeah, her.
Her? Really? The best episode of the entire show, Meet the Veals, when you meet her parents. That is 100% the best episode of Arrested Development, and I will hear nothing to the contrary, because it might be one of the best comedy TV episodes of all time. Like, it just fucking hits every single time. Oh, it's amazing.
But anyway, God, what was the point we were even making? Michael Cera kind of fell off. I don't know. I've heard rumors he's difficult to work with. I don't know if that's substantiated, but like...
He looks bad too. Like, yeah. It's okay to say that, right? Like, I don't want to make fun of someone's appearance, but like, he did not age like the way you would think he would age.
Or that, like, any... Yes, exactly.
Like, him as a voice actor, that might be a good pivot for him, honestly. It looks like he's in the Paws of Fury movie, too, or whatever, lately. So, him shifting into voice acting might make sense.
Although, Paws of Fury was in production hell, so that might be... That might have...
Coasting that off might, of
he
his
might have
former...
recorded that when he was in, like, the... Like critical, like the tail end of like peak Michael Cera.
Right.
Oh, of course, Michael Cera was in Twin Peaks.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. I think the most recent season, but yeah.
He, quote, doesn't own a smartphone or use social media.
Well, that would explain why he's fallen off. No one can get in touch with him.
Kind of got to play the game a little bit there. I mean, maybe he doesn't care, you know.
He certainly has enough credits that, like, you know what, you want to live a modest lifestyle, those residuals are probably making it happen for you.
I mean, not even residuals. I'm sure he's worth what, at least 50 million. Like, I'm sure he's got a nest egg.
What if he doesn't big. What if he just fucking blew it?
Let's say 20 million. Okay. Might not be accurate. All those things are all complete fucking bullshit, but that's more than enough. If you don't even need to live modestly, you can live very rich on $20 million, not even earning any residuals.
I, as a Scott Pilgrim fan of both the movie and the comics, I'm excited about this. I hope it is good. I don't know, maybe good is the wrong word. I hope it is, what the comics were. Because the movie, fantastic, did make some interesting changes that, I don't necessarily disagree with or think are even different. I'd like the graphic novels to get a shot in the some kind of adapted form. Nendoroid parent company and international anime figure collectible retailer Good Smile Company was revealed to own 30% of 4chan following a $2.4 million investment into the company some years ago. This was revealed due to investigative report conducted by Wire. And this was this investigation was conducted by the New York government following the Buffalo shooting, trying to find connections there, which I believe were, pretty substantial. And then the caveat to this is that Good Smile is supposedly trying to disinvest from 4chan, as Disney, who they are also partnered with, is threatening to end that relationship because, Disney doesn't want to do work with people who own 30% of an extremist platform.
First, it's the fucking anime figurine company. Like, some fucking weeb was at the top of that and was like, no, 4chan's gonna die. We gotta invest. Like, who's the CEO of Good Smile?
I think, like, they're an international company. Like, they're supposedly big and legit. And I can't speak to their... I don't know if it was as personal as that, but, like, no, somebody on that board was definitely like, oh, the most profitable and also toxic part of this community might scatter to the wind if 4chan falls. We got to make sure it stays together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the guy who runs it now is the founder of the company. He's still in charge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this dude just liked 4chan, man. Like, I know that 4chan has a bit of a Japanese following because of, like, the whole Chan system and everything like that. So they had some carryovers because it all comes from Japan. But yeah, no, this dude totally just fucking liked 4chan, and they were in a bad way financially because it's a fucking nightmare company. And so yeah, it's $2 million. Let's do it.
Do either of you have any sense of how 4chan, like, makes money? Or
I've never.
Oh, they're at their ads on 4chan. Jesus,
bad ads, fam. Like,
yeah, there's ads on everything, dude.
Bad ads. Like, you want ads for? You're talking about dick pill ads. This is gonna be a little worse.
Okay, below that caliber of ads. Yeah.
You have personal ads. You have people, like human beings, buying ads on 4chan. It's weird shit, dude. Fuck.
What, like bounty hunter shit?
No, just like, hey, I'm this person. Follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Jeez. Like, yeah, no, just like humans, just regular old people buying ad space. Because yeah, not many companies willing to publicly advertise on 4chan.
And then to speak to my own personal experience, and I don't know, maybe this is poking the bear a little bit, bringing this up. I expressed my frustration at this on Twitter. I expressed how, like, no ethical consumption under capitalism, but it sucks. I can't buy a Chainsaw Man figure without inadvertently giving money to people who run an extremist platform. And a lot of people with anime avatars and terrible bios on their Twitter accounts got at me to defend 4chan on Twitter, which, I'm gonna say it, if you're defending a social media platform on a different social media platform, you already lost the game, man. If 4chan's so great, why aren't you over there?
Hey, man, give it a couple years. We'll see where Twitter's at.
Not to defend Twitter, you know, just to 4chan, point out the fallacies in their thinking.
4chan is a diet version of 8chan, and, like, Twitter could arguably become a diet version of 4chan. Like, if there is ever a mass exodus of, like, reasonable people, then yeah, Twitter's just going to become diet 4chan. So yeah, it's all just a fucking Xerox of a Xerox and everything.
Have you guys seen any of the memes going around now that Twitter verification is, like, pay only?
And yeah, doesn't it scream like the same thing as Pride Month when all the companies and people are like, you know what? I won't pay for Twitter Blue, whatever. Take my check away. I'm such a good person. And it's like, fucking, do you want a cookie? Like, I don't understand. This is dumb
shit.
Also,
from what I can tell, I mean, unless everyone's just lying, most of the people that I follow that are like beat writers and stuff like that for different sports that have said, like, I am not paying for Twitter Blue, I will lose my checkmark. They didn't.
Not yet, right?
I think it was supposed to be today, right? Because the New York Times lost their checkmark.
Some of them have lost.
There was that.
Well, the New York Times was like Elon specifically.
That was personally Elon Musk saying, I'm going to take it away because I don't like you.
I'm guessing they're rolling it out. Like, I'm sure they will. But for me, it's just the dumbest shit imaginable to grandstand about. Like, if you quietly just let your blue check mark expire and then your followers were like, oh, hey, looks like you don't have a check mark anymore. Everything good? And you're like, yeah, I'm not going to pay. That's fine. But all these people making like just fucking the most like
about it.
I'm this very important person / entity. And isn't it crazy that I have to pay for verification? You know what? Fuck you, Elon Musk. I'm such a good... And it's just like, bruh.
I haven't seen a lot of that. I've mostly seen people making memes about like, you know, them getting copycatted when their verification checkmark goes away.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of JK Rowling accounts being like, oh, sorry about all the transphobia, gang. My B.
That's great. I love that. I've just seen a bunch of companies and influencers and
that's
celebrities, actors. You know the type. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, someone who's in the touch with the cultural milieu isn't gonna fucking do shit like that.
They're not taking
dumb.
A stand against tyranny by not paying $8. You shouldn't pay $8. You shouldn't. Like, that's a weird
thing. If you made a post that was just like, I don't like Twitter anymore, bye. Yeah, cool, whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, that's a classic post, you know? I'm not going to give you any problems with that. But it's just the grandstanding and then staying on the platform and doing all this other shit. It's like, all right, fucking cool. Like, you don't get props for doing the basic, like, good thing. I don't know. Yeah, don't give money to this fucking moron. Cool. Yeah.
Fine. Speaking of morons, Donald Trump was indicted.
Yeah. Going to be arraigned on Tuesday, potentially.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You know, that was... Either you want to walk us through what kind of happens next, what happens next, as much as we can estimate.
Well, he'll be arraigned on Tuesday, supposedly.
Yeah, it's been apparently worked out between his lawyer and the DA, and he's going to fly to New York and fucking... turn himself in, like have the charges read against him, get his fingerprints, all that other shit, then post his bond or whatever and walk out of there. And it's probably going to be months and years and everything before we actually get any further developments. But
I mean, the indictment is also sealed. Like, we as the public don't know the charges, which you know, we can make any number of educated guesses, but
sounds like it's going to be like a fuck ton of misdemeanor charges that when you put them together, they become a felony.
Yeah. I heard, like, they said that there was at least one felony as part of the charge, but I don't know if that's because there's a singular felony or like what you're saying, because it happens so often, it becomes a felony.
Yeah.
So the writing I've seen talking about this being a misappropriation of campaign funds.
Yeah.
Largely towards keeping the one cited is Stormy Daniels from talking about her experiences with
but
the
also
president.
Others,
right? Yeah. That's more speculative. There's no confirmation that that's what he's being indicted for.
I don't think so. No, not officially. Okay. Like, there just hasn't been charges.
Not officially. Again, educated guess says that's probably along the right path.
But you know how DAs work. Like, they're not going to take something that they're not sure is a 100% slam dunk. So there's a chance that, they don't even really bring up the big shit and they just fucking death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. Like,
they're
all
like,
these
we
other.
We know that you charges. Did all of this little bad shit.
Yeah.
No one's going to, like, not vote for you because you didn't pay your taxes that 1 year.
But we've
but
got
that is
you.
A crime.
Like, you are nailed to the fucking wall with all of these charges. And, like, there's a chance that if we try to overcharge you and get something that we don't know is a slam dunk, that you might walk on other shit. So they're going to only do the slam dunks because they're elected officials and that's how they get into office.
I took a class in college about campaign rhetoric, and that included a unit on like campaign finance stuff. Mm-hmm. Like those laws are really weird and really specific, which makes
that's
them...
what Trump will say.
Right.
It's going to be like, it's impossible to follow every little detail. Like it's, they're just trying, it's a witch hunt. They're just trying to knock me out of the presidential race and blah, 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 blah.
But then like, I 1,000% believe there is a text message somewhere of Donald Trump saying, no, yeah, give the porn star $30,000 from our campaign finances so she doesn't talk about me. Like I 100% believe something like that could exist. Like that's not
good. Yeah. Right. Could exist. Does it exist? That's the whole...
Yeah, they'd have to get the record, and like it could easily be destroyed in between. And
yeah, this shit was a long time ago. I forgot about how Stormy Daniels was like early on in the presidency. That was an early scandal. So, yeah, it's a lot of shit could happen in the interim. But I mean, in reality, it's just hopeful that it leads to further prosecution in like the Georgia election tampering and in these other cases that are being brought up against him. Hopefully that emboldens other DAs to be like, all right, now the precedent has been set. Like you can charge a former president with a crime, which there's some wild takes about that. Just like in general, like people actually defending and saying that presidents basically are immune from crime.
Right, exactly. Like, oh, this is the death of democracy because we're going after our political opponents.
Yeah.
Men crying on live television. And it's like, these are bad people that did bad things.
Trump has literally said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with no consequences. And you're proving him right. Like, you can literally commit crimes and not be held accountable because you were a president once. Like,
he's also rich from buttery males Republicans who have who tried to send Hillary Clinton to jail on what was
Clinton wasn't a president. Clinton wasn't a president. It's completely different.
It's fine. You can persecute your political opponents so long as they're not president.
Exactly. Yeah, if you win, you get immunity forever. That's why Donald Trump ran for president, not because he wanted to be president, but because he didn't want to be prosecuted for his numerous crimes.
For a ton of fucking crimes that are out in the open. Yeah, no, they'll do like they'll go to Congress. All the Republicans will grandstand and be like, yeah, no, like this is just you can't charge a former president because that's the political think of the precedent you're setting people. We're gonna go out and draw a hard line. No way. And then Joe Biden will leave office and they'll be like, Joe Biden had confidential documents, arrest him. It'll be the same thing as fucking Merrick Garland, how they were just like, no, you can't do it. Like it's only a year away, Barack. Like
we made up this precedent just now. And if you break that, that's dangerous.
That's fucked up, man. 2 years later proceeds to break by much worse. It was much closer to the election. Break that exact precedent that they claimed they were setting. Like, yeah, that's no one gives a shit. Like the Republicans play dirty. Democrats sometimes do, but not nearly as much. So we have the system that we have. It's great.
Wild. And still probably another news item that probably not the last time we're going to talk about this. This is going to be the first time we talk about John Wick 4, The Wickening. Andrew, you texted me about this. Does John Wick get nunchucks in the nunchuck fight? Or is it John Wick versus
John Wick is the only one with the nunchucks.
Yeah!
I'm really sad that Ryan's not going to be here to hear this. Because I got a lot of things to say about this movie. I've heard people describe this movie, John Wick 4, John Wick Chapter 4, as the perfect action movie. That's incorrect. John Wick 4 is not an action movie. John Wick 4 is an action scene that takes breaks every once in a while for minimal dialogue. John Wick 4 has action scenes. First thing to preface, John Wick 4 is a nearly 3 hour long movie. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
And I would be shocked if more than 25 or 30 of those minutes are people talking. Almost the entire movie is extended action scenes that go on for way too long. I've seen John Wick 2 and 3. Those movies are very action heavy. Lots of guns being shot, this is something else entirely. Like, it is, there are action scenes where John Wick will do his John Wick thing and kill a bunch of people, and you go, okay, that was a lot of people that just died. But then he'll just kill more people the exact same way over and over and over and over and over again. And these action scenes are 20 to 30 minutes long. I'm not exaggerating.
This is...
I'm not. It's insane. It's not like, oh man, you know, it's crazy that they made this intricate action scene, because he's just doing the same thing over and over and over again.
This is sounding like what Ryan was talking about, where John Wick has broken the RPG that is his universe, and he is just doing the same combo again and again against these jobber assassins coming after him, because it just keeps working.
He is. I mean, not even him getting the nunchucks could make that fight scene interesting. The first time he killed someone with nunchucks, it was like, okay, that's a John Wick thing he just did there. But then he does it 7 more times with the nunchucks. And there are 4 different instances where he kills a guy with nunchucks because he ran out of bullets, puts the nunchucks around his neck, reloads his gun, shoots until he runs out of bullets again, puts his gun in his holster, takes out the nunchucks, kills 3 more guys with the nunchucks, and then puts it around his neck again and reloads. He does that 4 times. This is a 25-minute long scene.
So, like, famously, like, the people who made the original John Wick weren't expecting it to be this wildly successful and did not write any of the movies, it's my understanding, in a way where it's setting stuff up in other movies. How is, I mean, outside of John Wick in our universe just being a cultural phenomenon and everyone knows him or those movies, how do you have a foil to John Wick in any of the, like, what's now the 4th movie?
In John Wick 2, there was a foil to John Wick, because there were these 2 different assassins that were, like, somewhat close to John Wick's level of skill that were going after him for different reasons. In John Wick 3, there isn't that. In John Wick 4, there definitely isn't that. There are 2 guys that are also trying to kill John Wick that they're like, oh man, they're cool because we gave them this different style. One of them's Donnie Yen, and he's blind. And he's got a sword and a gun.
Like, and a big disadvantage. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Just that good, man. He's just that good.
Look, I'm all for not being ableist, but, like, you're talking about this dude who's literally a living legend. Like, I don't see.
No, Donnie Yen's blind assassin, who also, it's revealed that he wasn't always blind. He was just a really good assassin that was, like, on John Wick's level.
He was an assassin.
He was
before he became blind.
Yes, and then he willingly became blind because he made a deal, some stupid shit. And then also still was just really good and figured it out while being blind, how to still be an assassin. And then this other character that they introduce, who I will admit, like, is a cool concept that they introduced. He's like this tracker guy, and he's got a dog, and he follows John Wick around and has been doing so this entire time, apparently protecting him, because his goal is to wait until John Wick's bounty just gets high enough where it becomes worth it, that then he'll kill John Wick and then get the $50 million. He's like, yeah, $2 million wasn't enough. $10 million wasn't enough. $20 million wasn't enough. I'm protecting John Wick along this way without his knowledge, so that eventually his bounty will get high enough where I can then retire.
I'm sorry.
How does that work? Does
the assassin organization not have laws against stock manipulation like this?
Nope. Nope.
How does the bounty continue to grow no matter what? That's my question.
Because John Wick keeps fucking doing his thing.
But who's
people
doing
off
the bounty?
Did they
think that the reason that they're not getting John Wick is because $10 million isn't enough? Or is it fucking unkillable?
That's the thing. Like, they keep raising.
Why would they raise it?
No. I don't know. Because in every single time they do it, like, everyone opens up their phone, like, oh my god, it's $7 million now, we gotta go get this guy.
Yeah,
and then a bunch of people go after him. and that's not enough. And then somehow there's still more people that are like, it just hit 10 million. Now it's worth it. Now I'm in. Now I'm going after.
And like, how is
this
John
shit
Wick
is
not,
so dumb?
How is John Wick not killing the people who are putting the bounties on?
That's
his head?
What this movie is about: is him going after the high table. He's finally, he's like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm gonna rewrite the books. I'm gonna go after these people, and then they go, well, he's become a problem now, so we got to mobilize all of our resources to stop him.
Yeah, 2 and 3, we didn't do shit. We were just sat around twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
Like, John Wick was also a guy everyone knew in the first movie.
Like, yeah, he was very well known.
Yeah, he's a fucking legend.
And respected. And he's not that old. Like, is that just me? Like, John Wick's not as old as Keanu Reeves. Is that basically
no,
confirmed?
No, definitely not.
Like, he's more, like, supposed to be, like, early 40s.
Right, like early retirement type,
like,
yeah.
Right, like, are you... that's a fucking legacy to leave behind in what? Like, probably 15 years of activity? Like, holy shit, man. You've got to be elite to, like,
he's putting
leave
up
that
Tom
big of a
Brady
mark.
Numbers.
Seriously.
Right?
Tom Brady's... he played for what? 21 years? Like... Tom Brady took longer than John Wick to create that type of legacy. Like, I don't know. It's insane.
Especially with John Wick's, like, not physically demanding style of assassination.
Yeah, I know. John Wick's
he could have stayed in the game well into his 50s
just
if he wanted.
Just shoot gun good. Like, yeah. And, yeah, like, they show that he can, you know, fight and wrestle and flip people around and stuff like that. And he does it to a point that's gratuitous. But everything else that he's done in this movie is gratuitous.
Has like, John Wick ever been in like mortal peril where like genuinely there's a chance he dies? So I don't remember that in the first movie, really. I
in
remember
the first
him
movie, not really.
Being pretty
in
much on top
the
of it.
Second movie, I want to say no. I mean, like, yeah, like he's in danger because the people that he's fighting in that movie are like supposed to be on his level.
But he's never going to, like, catch a stray bullet. So it's like you almost have to create a serious situation for him to be in mortal peril.
There's a thing in the third movie where he does get shot off of a skyscraper and, like, hits a bunch of shit on the way down and is just broken. And then that's how that movie ends, is this one guy picks him up and, like, says, we're going to go get these bastards that betrayed you, whatever. And then the fourth movie opens up with some indiscriminate amount of time has passed and John Wick has been training and getting his body back together. So like that was a serious thing that happened to him, that damaged him, but he didn't die.
Yeah. We kind of knew that he wasn't going to die. He wasn't in imminent mortal danger. Right, it's just, he got really badly injured, which is different.
This movie more than any other movie or game has shown me that IGN's grading criteria is just total bullshit, because they gave this movie a perfect 10.
This movie has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, Andrew.
It's ridiculous.
Throw this out
again,
there. I think you're in the minority. I think
I know, but like, even if you, so if you really like action movies, and I'm not saying that I hated watching this, because there was just so much fucking action that you're like, oh wow, that was a 3-hour trip.
Yeah,
but again,
3 hours long.
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
And again, these action scenes are 30-ish minutes each. And like, they just keep going on and on and on and on and on. Like, there's a scene, like the last action scene is honestly, it's a fucking hour long. And it's John Wick running through Paris trying to get to this church by dawn so that he can fight Donnie Yen in single combat, which is dueling pistols, and Donnie Yen
is blind.
Fucking blind.
can't see.
Single shot pistol, like, you know, 30 paces, draw fire. Like, that's the final fight in the movie.
I'm all for John Wick having a code or something. I'm like, why didn't John Wick just kill that guy? Like, why is John Wick submitting to a duel? Like, why isn't he just
there bang, are bang. Plot reasons. It's not good.
Right.
There are reasons why this is happening, but that's besides the point. They found ways to like introduce a cool action scene context, and then they just did it for way too long. There's like a Hotline Miami moment where John Wick is in this dilapidated mansion fighting dudes with dragon breath shotguns, and he's got one too, and it's just a bird's eye view, you know, top down shooter moment, and like, oh, that's that's fun. That's cool. You see John Wick shooting through walls and hitting people on the other side, doing crazy John Wick shit. That's 10 minutes long. I'm serious. It's nuts. And there's the scene where like they're around the Arc de Triomphe and just all the cars going around it. And like they're throwing people into the cars and shooting. That's at least 10 minutes long. Just doing the same shit over and over again
on the roundabout.
Do you guys care about spoilers at all?
No, not for this
movie.
Okay,
spoiler alerts. John Wick dies.
No.
Yeah, he and Donnie Yen basically call it a draw in the pistol duel, but in a way that also kills the real bad guy. And
sure.
Yeah.
Wait, and John Wick dies?
John Wick. So it's, you know, 30 paces, draw, shoot. If you don't die, advance 10 paces, draw, shoot. Like, they do that a couple times, and they're evenly matched. John Wick gets hit in the arm, Donnie Yen gets hit in the arm. John Wick gets hit in the stomach, Donnie Yen gets hit in the stomach. Last round, John Wick doesn't shoot. Donnie Yen hits him in, like, the sternum or whatever. And then the actual bad guy, this French asshole, is like, "I demand the last shot," and he takes Donnie Yen's gun. He's like, "And with this, all of the assassin world will know that John Wick is a failure." And then John Wick just never actually shot his gun in the last time. So then he just shoots him in the head, because then it's legit. And they're like, "John Wick, you get your freedom." And he's like, "Awesome." And he takes off his gun belts and then just fucking dies looking at the sunrise. And then
it's an Arthur Morgan send-off.
He ain't dead.
Yeah. No. And then they bury him. And like the only guys that know him are like, "Man, hope he's at peace. Do you think he's in heaven or hell?" And like, yeah, they could definitely spin that off. And like, "Ooh, it was a secret. They only pretended he was dead so that the world thought he was." And but yeah, they definitely wrote that with the intention of John Wick being actually dead. And it's like, okay, cool.
Cool. So why did he spare Donnie Yen? For no reason?
Because Donnie Yen had a daughter. And the only reason that Donnie Yen was hunting John Wick, because the French guy said that he would kill his daughter if he didn't kill John Wick. So then,
not the money. Donnie Yen doesn't give a fuck about 70 million.
No, he. I don't think he was going to get it even.
Okay, so Google search for John Wick 5, Hollywood Reporter article titled "John Wick 5 Back on the Table After Box Office Blow Up."
I think they also greenlit a Donnie Yen Blind Assassin spinoff.
That's what they title it. Donnie Yen Blind Assassin.
I think his name is Kane, which is the dumbest shit, because yeah, he walks around with a cane. That's also a sword. Ooh.
Of course. Like, every cane is a sword.
I don't mind the blind assassin trope as much as you guys do, but keep it to that. Sure, he kills people with a sword.
No, he's got a gun, and he will seriously, they'll show him just shooting and mostly missing. Like, he'll hear a guy and shoot into the ground 10 times. And like, that's his shtick. That's his thing. Also, I gotta say this. I know we're running long on time. There's a moment where John Wick has to fight his way up this super long series of stairs. That takes at least 5 minutes, and then gets kicked when he reaches the top and rolls down all of them. And it is, I shit you not, as long as the hot rod scene of him rolling down the hill. It goes on forever.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes, like, dude, approaching 100%.
No, it was fun to watch. It was really gratuitous. Not a good movie. Not a perfect 10. It's fucking bullshit.
Well, neither is, yeah. Like, Rotten Tomatoes is just saying, is it watchable or no? So would you fall on the, watchable?
No, it's definitely watchable.
No, so like, there you go. That's why.
But it's like, you got to go in under a certain mindset.
I think Andrew was more referencing there, Ryan, IGN's
Notorious.
10. Yeah.
No one gives a shit about IGN.
Many people. Ryan, what have you been checking out? You referenced Hogwarts Legacy a little bit. Anything else in there?
Succession season 2 or season 4. Why did I say 2? I don't know. Succession season 4 came out. Watching some Survivor. Survivor had a fun bit this week where it's just bullshit going on in Survivor. It's good times.
It's just good times. Someone tried to make a fake idol and like he told this guy that like he had a real idol and this guy was kind of falling for it, like hook, line, and sinker. Basically, this tribe has like one. I'm just like diving deeper and deeper into it. So basically, this tribe has one guy. His name is Jam Jam. Yep. You know, he's like English second language. He's super like he's kind of bitchy, but also like, you know, down for it. Like he'll fuck around. Then there's Carolyn, who's actually like unbalanced, like actually has a screw loose and is dealing with that as she plays. And then there's this other guy named Josh, who's just a fucking guy. He's like a doctor and he just showed up there. Doesn't really know anyone at first because they did a tribe swap thing. And so they're all just like trying to get along. Josh, the doctor guy, tells Jam Jam, like, I've got another idol, because he had to play it last week in order to stay alive. He's like, I got another one, baby. He's like, here's the note. And he shows him the note and he's like, damn. What? And then he's like, the note that says like, this is a hidden immunity idol. It was okay, from okay. his other idol. Like he kept the note and then he said, look, here's the note. And then, so then he's like, Jam Jam's like, oh, like they eventually come to the point because Carolyn and Jam Jam were aligned, but then they kind of fell out. And they kind of started to come back together. And so, like, Jam Jam tells Carolyn, like, Josh has an idol. He told me he's got an idol, so he's not an option. So it's one of the two of us, basically. And Carolyn's like, did you see the idol? And he's like, no, I didn't. He showed me the note. And she's like, oh, interesting. And Josh's like, I'll show you the idol. And he shows him the idol, which is just made of beads that they get on what they call tree mail. Like the fucking letters from the show, you know,
yeah.
Like, telling them what to expect that day and everything like that. He stole the beads and tried to make him into a little shitty fake idol. And he pulls it out instantly. Jam Jam is just like, are those the beads from Tree Mail? Like without hesitation, like he had completely fallen for it and was like kind of resigned to like, it's either me or Carolyn going home. I'm fucked. Like you're so nervous because you're like, he bought it already. So he might be prone. Instantly just like, that's a fucking fake, bro. Like, wait, that's a fake ass idol. What are you talking about? And then like Carolyn gets the note and she had seen his idol last week and was like, this is the exact same note that you showed me last week. And then Jam Jam's like looking at the beads and it fucking falls apart in his hands. And he's like, it's falling apart, bro. And then it cuts to this confessional with Josh. And he's like, I think we got to get Jam Jam out. Seems like he's starting to like get onto me and onto my grin. It's like, bro, he did it.
He's just like, that's fake. And just as soon as he sees it, that shit's fake.
He's like, he's not onto you. He knew with 100% certainty the second he saw this idol. Like, there's no such thing as being onto you. He knows everything. Like, there is no secrecy whatsoever. And Carolyn, too. And then, yeah, they got saved. They didn't have to actually go to tribal because another dude was a dumbass and climbed up a rock and dislocated his shoulder on day two. And then tried to like play through it for a week and was just like not sleeping at night and miserable. So they eventually pulled him from the game. But yeah.
So I'm still processing the fact that people have pulled the fake hidden immunity idol shit so many times that they now come with certificates of authenticity.
I think they always did. They always came with that said like, this is a immunity idol, play this while like it gives you instructions, because now there's other advantages too. Like you can have like a steal a vote advantage, and it like all they always have like an explainer for like what it is, or like some idols are only viable before the tribes all merge together, or you know, they always have notes that explain them. But what happened this season is that they actually gave contestants a fake idol that looked legit, like if you got this real idol, and then you could use your note with the fake idol and just hide it again and let someone else find it and be like, there's a note and a thing that looks like an idol. Pretty sure I just found an idol. And then they would get to tribal and give it to Jeff and he'd be like, this isn't real. Sorry, you're fucked.
I do love that we are like Survivor has gotten to MLB baseball at this point where people have figured out how to play this game and the common strategies so effectively that they're we got to tweak the rules now. We got to make it spicy. Weird.
Yeah, 100%. They got to do different shit to keep it relevant. And I think they do a generally good job. I mean, some of the experiments go awry, but like they do keep it spicy that way. And there are some amazing moments from like the weird shit. And like you said, like it is a solved game the way that it was. So to add these new elements are keeping these people who are experts. Like, these people have been watching Survivor for at least a decade, are like, there's maybe a couple of like dumb people who are just like, I throw rock good. But for the most part, even like the people who aren't very good at the game really know what's going on and like instantly are picking up on shit that like, yeah, early seasons, no one ever would. And then like the smart people are genuinely like four steps ahead of us. And we know everything. Like, we know who has what, who's aligned with whom. And somehow the people on the show with limited information are like ahead of the audience and shit. It's crazy how the lengths people go to win $1 million. Like, it is their whole life, it seems like, in some cases. So, fair enough.
Fantastic. I'm glad Survivor is still nailing it after all these years. Mentioned this before, still plugging away at Fire Emblem Engage. I made a non-unkillable feral anime clown girl last week. This week, I realized that I have a furry lesbian murder machine who is untouchable. So that's fun. That's a fun character I accidentally stumbled into. Oh, guys. Oh, my God, guys. Guess what the Fire Emblem... Guess what the Fire Emblem actually was?
What? The friends we made along the way?
No, idiot. It was you. It was the player. You're the Fire Emblem.
Hell yeah.
I think I got like two chapters to go. Two long, difficult chapters that I enjoy, but will take some time. But I think I'm finally nearing the end of this. And then I have no fucking idea what I'm going to play next. Hopefully something short, because I do not have a lot of time till Zelda comes out, and that's the priority.
You could help me beat Elden Ring by pressing the kill button.
I can fire off that Kamehameha. Have you beat...
Dude, I haven't played fucking Elden Ring in months.
Well, you haven't beat Morgott? Nope. Morgott, the King of Kings?
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
I haven't played it in a long time.
Missing out. Andrew, you and I watched The Banshees of Inisherin. I'm sorry we didn't talk about that last week.
That's okay. We're running a little long. Do you want to like maybe take this into the next one?
Oh, wow. Okay. I feel like we're not being fair to Banshees of Inisherin, but all right.
I mean, we can talk about it now if you want.
I don't think I have a ton to say other than, boy, Colin Farrell's eyebrows. They deserve the Oscar. Very expressive.
Going also full sad. Emilia Clarke mode.
Yeah. Thicker. More powerful.
Wow.
Better. Stronger. Batman.
John Malkovich as fucking...
Batman.
Oh, Batman. No, fucking... What's his name? Why can't I... I'm doing terrible with names right now. From Banshees of Inisherin. Fucking,
Colin Firth?
Yeah, Colin Firth. No.
Or Colin Farrell.
Colin Firth, see?
Happened to you,
Colin
too.
Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah. No, fucking John Malkovich as Colin Farrell. As Emilia Clarke. Why not? Throw them all together.
Boy, Andrew, I guess the only question I have for you about this movie, do you think it taking place exactly 100 years ago is like... Does that mean anything? Was anything supposed to be implied by that?
No, I don't think so. I think it was more of like the backdrop is the Irish Civil War, because that's when it was going on. Like,
yeah,
I think it was just like a thematic thing of like, yeah, and like this place is isolated and you hear about the shit going on, but like conflict doesn't really exist here. And now there's conflict of a different kind. Ooh.
Or that maybe that belief was a lie the entire time. Maybe that opening scene of Colin Farrell walking through the harbor with a rainbow behind him. Literally the happiest guy on the earth.
Yeah, just hearing cannon fire off in the distance and no one gives a shit. But, yeah.
Jesus. Good movie. Also, I'm curious to see how it played abroad, because I definitely found the Irishisms of the film kind of undercutting the very depressing tone and macabre nature of it.
I think that was the idea, is that they're like,
how does that play for Irish
and
people?
Quaint and, you know, like, oh, just old timey Irish, everyone loves it. You just and then it's just the most fucking depressing shit going on.
That movie made me very thirsty for Guinness. They make dark beer look so good in that movie.
I will admit, I did go out and get some Guinness afterwards. Yeah.
But also, yeah, they're doing depressing shit in that movie that's not even like telegraphed. Like, it took me a little while to realize, wait, are they going to the bar at 2 p.m. every day?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's bar time.
Ugh.
I mean, but that's also kind of like, that's all they got going on. And then they're like, yeah, man, this is all you got going on. We know you're a nice guy. That's not enough. We know you're a good person.
Well, what is enough? What is the point of life? And don't say something stupid like me. It's music. Oh.
Ah.
Good movie. Equal parts devastating and hilarious.
No, it is a genuinely funny movie in a really bad way.
I did not think that kid dying would fuck me up more than less than that donkey dying, but here we are.
Yeah, no, donkey dying was definitely the saddest part. Will you give the man a break? His fucking donkey died. I don't give a rat's ass about his donkey.
What a weird, honest relationship. And good for them. Genuinely good for them by the end, figuring out how to hate each other. Because, yeah, that's better than just trying to turn a lifetime of emotions and relationship into
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely better to hate each other. Like, so, we're good, right? We're done. We don't have, it's like, if you would have fucking just let yourself burn to death in your house, we would have been done. Now you're alive, so no, we're not done.
Oh, hey, thanks for watching my dog. Oh,
yeah, of course, anytime.
Yeah. Love it. And that'll do it for episode 219 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. I was going to do an anime corner. There isn't actually a lot of anime to talk about.
I prepped Andrew, too.
Yeah,
I literally sent it to him and said, Andrew, be prepared. It's anime corner time. I have a reminder in my calendar. He's not going to catch us by surprise.
Buddy Daddies was fine by the end. Chojin X was great last quarter. That's a manga, though. And I've been talking about JoJo Lands on the regular. So, yeah, no updates on that front. Good season coming up, though. This episode will almost certainly be titled John Wick, parentheses, with nunchucks. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Support us on Patreon and join the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole, Psyche Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Follow us on Twitter for updates for as long as Twitter is around at V2_podcast. And follow me at Lucas DeRider on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing, everything else I have going on. Don't have a live stream locked in for this week. That might happen, though. Definitely have one the following week. Yeah, no, I think that's it. Everyone have a great week. Hopefully spring is springing by you. Goodbye.